Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we thank you for this building. We thank you that we can come here and be warm, be inside from the elements. Father, my prayer this morning is that you would speak to every heart that is in this room, every heart that may be watching, every heart that may watch or listen later. There are many things that you want to say about this subject matter this morning. And so, Lord, I ask you to speak to us. Lord, I pray that we take the next 45 minutes or so and put aside all distractions. We wouldn't worry about the week that was or the week that's coming. We'd worry about now and we'd listen for your voice. Father, thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we started 2 Peter last week. We finished chapter 1. And I will tell you, we're not going to finish chapter 2. And so the book itself, 2 Peter, breaks down like this, that in chapter 1, the true knowledge, chapter 2, false teachers, and then chapter 3, the return of Christ. And so Peter left off in verse 19. He talks about a more sure prophetic word. And so keep in mind, when they wrote the Bible, when they wrote these letters, they were letters and there was no breaks, there were no verse numbers, and the verse numbers and breaks were added to help to reference back to things. And so they're very helpful. But understand, this whole idea, this section in chapter 2, starts in verse 19 of chapter 1. So that's where we're going to be. Chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "We also have the more prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as light that shines in darkness until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing the first that no prophecy of Scripture is of in private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Now, we talked about this last week, and it's important to understand that what is prophecy? Prophecy is prehistory. Okay, it's prehistory. And so in this context here, he is saying, look, that holy men of God were moved of the Holy Spirit, that is driven along. So it's like this: God was the author and the human vessel was the pen in a sense. Now it's important that we say this because now as we get into chapter 2, verse 1, it says this: "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift or quick destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed or slandered against. Verse 3, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber." And so what Peter's going to get into here is he's going to get into false teachers. Okay, some of you probably may have heard the term false teacher before. And understand the context. Again, you know, when you read through a book of the Bible, it's always important to understand the greater context, which is Peter's writing this letter to Christians that are being persecuted. They're being persecuted. And so why would he talk about false teaching? Well, he talk about false teaching because what can happen is during those times where you feel the pressure, where you feel desperation in a sense, false teachers can rise up because they play on that. They play on those things. They play on that desperation in your life. And so he starts off and says, "But there were false prophets among the people." Now, what's a false prophet? It's deliberately deceptive person pretending to be a prophet. In other words, they pretend to speak on God's behalf when they're not speaking on God's behalf. And we're going to talk about that in a moment more. And then what's a false teacher? A false teacher is a person who deliberately teaches deceptive teachings. Now, here's the thing about false teaching. Well, let me read the next verse. It says, "Who will secretly bring in destructive heresy." Secretly, the idea there is the secretly bring in alongside. They're not going to announce themselves. They're not going to wear a black cape and go, "I'm a false teacher." Ha, ha, ha. They're not going to do that. They're going to disguise themselves as one of you. That's what they're going to do. Now, what I want to do here this morning is I want to take a little field trip and talk about false prophets and false teachers throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and New Testament. So if you can't keep up, it's okay. But if you can, the first place I want to turn this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And as we go through this, There's a reason why I'm going to turn all these different places, because I'm going to make a point in the end here, so hang with me. So Deuteronomy chapter 13 will be verse 1, and this is Moses' last sermon to the children of Israel as they're going to enter into the promised land. And it says this: if there arises among you, verse 1 of chapter 13, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But the prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to speak. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. So this is what he's saying. How do you know if someone's a false prophet? Well, if someone says, hey, I am speaking for God, and what they say is going to come to pass doesn't come to pass, guess what? They're a false prophet. They're not representing what God, they're not representing God or his word. You follow me so far? And the penalty for that here in Deuteronomy was what? Put to death. Thank God we're in the age of grace. A couple chapters over, turn to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 21. Two verses. Well, let's go to verse 20 for context. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, this is God speaking, which I have not commanded him to speak, who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. Okay, now turn to Jeremiah. Okay, Jeremiah, who's Jeremiah? Jeremiah's a prophet. God gave him a message for the southern kingdom of Judah. See, the nation of Israel was one nation. And then after Solomon passed away, the nation split into two kingdoms. There's the northern kingdom, which is called Israel, then the southern kingdom, which is called Judah. And so Jeremiah was raised up as a prophet from God, read chapter 1, and he is given a message to the southern kingdom of Judah to return back to the Lord, to tell them that judgment is coming through the Babylonians, and they return back from the Lord. So Jeremiah chapter 14, sorry about that, I didn't tell you where to turn. Jeremiah 14, will be Jeremiah 14, 13. 14, 13. Jeremiah 14, 13. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophecies say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, that's the prophet Jeremiah, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them and commanded them nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision or divination, that is a signs and omens in a sense, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, verse 15 says the Lord God concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine those prophets shall be consumed. And the people, verse 16, to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They will have no one to bury them, nor their wives, their sons, nor their daughters, and I will pour their wickedness on them. So again, God is reiterating, look, Jeremiah, you have my message. These other prophets don't. See, here's the issue that was happening. Jeremiah was giving this message, hey, judgment's coming. And these other false prophets were coming and saying, oh, judgment's not coming. Everybody's good. Everything's wonderful. That's what the difference is here. One more place in Jeremiah. And by the way, if you want to read about a false prophet, read Jeremiah 28. But for the sake of time, we're not going to read that this morning. Turn to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23 will be verse 16. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. So these false prophets are giving a false message. Understand something. A false prophet or a false teacher, why they're so bad? They're so bad because what they do is they draw you away from Jesus. They draw you away from Jesus Christ. They draw you away from God's true word. And, you know, as a pastor, my goodness, there is so much false teaching out there today. And I see so many people get swept up into it. And if they would simply just read their Bible, they wouldn't get swept up into it. And they like it because it sounds good. And we'll talk about that in a little bit here. Okay, so that's Old Testament stuff, right? That's Old Testament. So what does it say about New Testament? So I'll tell you what, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is speaking, the Sermon on the Mount. What does Jesus say about these false prophets, false teachers? Matthew 7. Verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. By the way, what he's getting at here is there's one way of salvation. That's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. If you tell me afterwards there's another way, you're a false teacher. There's one way. It's through Jesus. Just as an aside. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Again, like I said, they're not going to come out and go, I'm a false teacher. Here I am. No, they're going to be among you. They're going to blend in. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Well, of course not, they don't. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. You'll know them. So, remember what we talked about. If a false prophet's going to tell you something that's not going to happen, that's their fruit, right? So their fruit is bad, so you'll know, okay? Verse 21, he goes, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Wow, that's sobering. Again, I would say this, bless you. Again, I would say this. If you simply just read the Bible, you'll be able to tell if somebody's a false teacher. But most of you, I don't say most of you, that's not fair. A lot of you do not. You don't. And you get swept in. And see, what happens is you go through something in your life, something traumatic happens, and you're looking for answers, and you're trying to figure things out, and you get sucked into these false teachers because they promise you things that aren't true. And often what they do is they take scripture and they bend it to fit your life. Instead, we're to obey what the Bible says. See the difference? We'll finish this, verse 23 again. And they, I will declare to you, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is a passage about Jesus talking about the last days. Let's start at verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of this age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." By the way, if you Google Jesus Christ, you're going to find all kinds of people today who currently say they're Jesus Christ. There's actually a guy in Florida, I don't even know if he's still around, a couple years ago, he was saying he was Jesus. He was telling everybody to get the 666 tattoo on him, but he's Jesus. But yet people followed him. People follow him. They're stunned in silence. Move over to verse 11. Then he says, "The many false prophets will rise up and declare and deceive many." This is a mark of the last days, okay? And then turn to verse 23 of Matthew 24. It says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs, false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive even if possible, or if possible, even the elect." So look, it's my belief that we're living in the last days. I believe it. I believe that's what the scripture teaches. But wait a minute, Trump won. Yeah. God's bigger than Trump. Some of you guys need to hear that. So if we're living in the last days, it's going to be a time where there's a lot of deception, a lot of confusion. Can I ask you a question? Are things confusing right now? Yes. You don't even know what news source to use, right? It's one of the reasons why in the bulletin I have those news websites. But let me tell you something. Use discernment even with those. Use discernment with those too. Again, you should know the word of God so that when you look at something, you're looking at it through the lens of the scripture. That's having a biblical worldview. That's how you should look at things. Now, a couple more places, I promise. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. Will be at verse 1. Paul, who's writing to a young pastor, Timothy, gives him this teaching. Says to him in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if I can get there, my pages are sticking. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, "The Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "expressly or distinctly or clearly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy." Now, hypocrisy, this word is very much, there's confusion. What's hypocrisy? Hypocrisy means you're a pretender. You're pretending to be something that you are not. That's real hypocrisy. "Having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." Now, some of you more seasoned saints will remember this. This happened, I think, when I was a kid. There was this movement called the Shepherding Movement. And what it was you would have these Christians who would live in a commune and there'd be a leader, a shepherd of them. And this shepherd would tell them who to marry, what job to have, all those things. Can I tell you, if I ever start talking like that, throw me out. I'm a false teacher then. But people get sucked in to all that. And that was something that literally really happened. And when you think of things like this, think of false teachers. Some of you have heard of the term, the man Jim Jones, false teacher. David Koresh, false teacher. See, look, you know, when I read this stuff, I think to myself, I used to get so angry at these false teachers in a sense, but I don't know what's worse, the false teacher or those who follow them. They wouldn't have any authority or any power if nobody follows them, would they? Again, comes back to, if you just simply read the Bible for yourself, you will see that you'll have a discernment. You'll be able to discern, hey, this is wrong, this is false. But a lot of us don't do that. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days perilous or times of stress will come, for men will be lovers of themselves." Gee, do you see that today? Hey, hold on a second, I want to take a selfie. "Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Wow. Listen, I was disobedient to my parents. But I respected them. Man, do I see that. No respect for parents anymore. Kids are taught today that parents are stupid and they shouldn't listen to them, aren't they? And even in school. Disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, or irreconcilable is the word. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Oh boy, that's a big one in our country. Having the form of godliness but denying its power. Oh, I'm a Christian, but Jesus really can't save everybody. That's the idea there. And from such people, what does he say? Hang out with them. No, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Right in your Bible, internet. Now, one more place I want us to turn. This idea of false teaching. Turn to Acts chapter 20. I want you guys to understand something. False teaching has always been around the church. Oftentimes what would happen, the Apostle Paul would go into an area, he would teach or he'd share the gospel, people would get saved, he'd plant a church, and we would move on. False teachers would come right in after him. If you think of the book of Galatians, there was these guys named the Judaizers. The Judaizers would tell you that that Jesus Christ is not enough, you need to keep the law. That's false teaching. All you need is Jesus. You are justified by faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus, not by the law. Now, in Acts chapter 20, Paul is going to meet with the leadership of the church of Ephesus, and he's going to meet with them, and he's going to give them one kind of last exhortation before he leaves and goes on his way. Now, starting in verse 26 of chapter 20 of the book of Acts, he says, "Therefore I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men. I'm clean of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned," that is, avoided declaring, to declare to you the whole counsel of God. In other words, Paul taught the Bible verse by verse. For 3 years he spent in Ephesus, and he taught them in the school of Tyrannus the Bible. Now, at that time, it was just the Old Testament, but he taught the Old Testament. That's why we teach the Bible here verse by verse, because I want to give you the whole counsel of God. See, a whole Bible creates a whole Christian who can reach the whole world. He goes on in verse 28, he says this, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." And he's talking to the church leadership here. "To shepherd the church of God," in other words, be the pastors of the church, "which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Now, he doesn't mean there's going to be actual real wolves coming in, a pack of wolves. What he means is false teachers. And I want you to notice something here. He says, that come in among you. They come from among you, not from the outside, from inside. And that's usually the most deadliest false teaching. Verse 30, "Also from among yourselves will rise up speaking perverse things or misleading things to draw away its disciples after themselves." And that's what they do. The false teachers teach in such a way to draw people after themselves. I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow Jesus. And if I ever come across to you that I want you to follow me, again, throw me out. Some of you will be more than happy to do that. Verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn every night and day with tears. And now, brethren," verse 32, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I've coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel." See, he didn't do it for money, is what he's saying. "Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me there." So in other words, what he's saying is, I didn't do it for money. In fact, I took a part-time job. I was a tent maker, so you guys wouldn't have to support me. That's how much he loved them. That's how much he doesn't want to make it about himself. Verse 35, "I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said all these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all." Okay, so now back to 2 Peter. So look, it wouldn't be uncommon for this to have false teachers that come in there. And as I just proved to you, false teaching or false prophets, if you will, have been talked about through the entire Bible, and they're always going to be with us. But the inoculation to that is to read your Bible. Is to read your Bible. Man, it comes back to that again? Yeah, it does. It does. Listen, truth be told, I have been swept up in false teaching when I was younger, a younger Christian. I was. And you know what got me out of it? I started to read the Bible for myself. And I was like, hold on a second, that's not right. What you're saying right now, that doesn't line up with Scripture. I'm not listening to you anymore. But how many of us actually do that? Do we? You know, we buy Christian books, right? Christian books on how to live a Christian life, and yet do we follow what the authors believe? Do we look at that? It matters. Because in the beginning, they may not seem like that, but eventually it's going to come out. Eventually it's going to come out. You need to have discernment with this stuff. And again, as a pastor, remember COVID? I know you guys don't want to remember COVID. I had so many people send me so many things, videos and other things of people, and it's just like, where is your discernment on this? Seriously. So again, chapter 2, verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, as even there will be false teachers among you. Again, he's warning them, there will be among you who will secretly bring destructive heresies. That word for destructive is apoleia in the Greek. He's going to use it a few times in this book. Here's what the word means. It means ruinous, destructive, deadly. Here's another meaning of it. It's the state after death where exclusion from salvation is a realized fact. Let me read that to you again. The state after death where exclusion from salvation is a realized fact. Uh-oh, I followed the wrong thing. There's no turning back now. So destructive heresies. Heresies, the word means sect or division. In classical Greek, it simply means schools of philosophy. So these destructive heresies, these destructive teachings, even denying the Lord who bought them. See, ultimately, false teaching is going to deny the Lord Jesus. Ultimately, it will. Think about Jehovah's Witnesses. Think about Mormons. They are cults. They are not Christians. They are cults. Is that harsh? No, it's not. Read their materials. Joseph Smith, the one who found Mormonism, right? He supposedly got these magic glasses and saw things clearer. By the way, well, I'm going to say it. I'll filter, stop. Okay. And then Jehovah's Witnesses. The Watchtower releases all of these things that were supposed to have taken place. Well, they didn't take place. So what does that make them? They're false prophets. Not only that, they say they're the 144,000 found in Revelation 7. There's more than 144,000 of them in the world. Uh-oh, what now what? But see, I know that only because I read my Bible. One of them, I think it's the Jehovah's Witness, even uses a false translation of the Bible.
Yeah, they change the word.
Yep. They, in fact, say in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, right? They say, was a God. But see, if I know John 1, I know that what they're saying is wrong. So even denying the Lord who bought them and will bring on themselves swift or quick destruction, same word, apoleia. Verse 2, and many will follow. See, many will follow them. Many will follow them. Their destructive ways, that word for destructive again, apoleia, same word, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. See, the way of truth is what? The gospel, the word of God, Jesus Christ. That's the way of truth. But see, these false teachers take you away from the way of truth. That's how you know they're a false teacher. Eventually they will. In the beginning they may not, but eventually their true colors will be found. Verse 3, by covetousness. Now, the word covetousness there means literally a desire to have more. In other words, to be greedy. Oh, so by covetousness, they will exploit you. That is, they will cheat you with deceptive words, words that are fabricated or formed or molded to what you want to hear. Let me tell you something. Years ago, I don't know if it's that way anymore, they would say if you watch Christian television, TBN, I think is the network, they would have all these false teachers on there. And what did they promise to you? All these wonderful, great things, right? But you had to send in a seed of $1,000. Seriously, have you guys ever seen that?
Yes.
That's false teaching. Salvation, you don't pay for salvation. Salvation is by faith, not by your money. And listen, I'm not going to get into all that, but there are so many different false teachers that they have done investigative reporting on, and their whole thing is a sham. And they do it for money. And see, notice how he says exploit. That word means to cheat. They cheat you with their deceptive words. They steal your money. For a long time, their judgments has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. In other words, God is going to judge them. Judgment is coming on them, is what he is saying. Now, okay, I'll tell you the true story. When I was a young Christian years ago, I was younger. I couldn't sleep one night, and I turned on the television. You know how they have the infomercials on, right, TV? And I remember, instead of an infomercial, was one of those televangelists, right? And the guy's name was Peter Popoff. You guys have heard of him, I don't know. Okay. Well, of course, he was espousing all these things. He was saying that if you sent money, he would send you healing water from Chernobyl. Chernobyl was that nuclear power plant that blew up in Russia. Okay, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, what? First of all, his name. I don't get it. Now, they don't do this so much anymore, but they used to send out letters and have your name in the letter. You get a letter and think, oh, how do they know me? Oh, brother son, brother Chris, I just want you to know you're on my heart. And if you want this new package of teaching, send me $1,000. If you want your life to be blessed, send me $1,000. Right? Some of you guys have experienced that kind of thing. And, you know, I think, Dan, how can that be? Well, I'll tell you how it can be. You come to a point in your life where you're desperate. You don't know what to do. And this guy is offering, now granted I was half asleep when I watched this, promising me if I give this money to him, I'll be blessed. Who doesn't want to be blessed? And if I'm struggling, especially if I'm struggling financially, hey, he's telling me if I give him this money, it's going to come back to me 1,000 or 100-fold, right? I understand that. But see, again, this is where it comes in with your relationship with the Lord comes in. Is Jesus enough for you? Because what he's basically telling you is Jesus isn't enough. He's not. That's what he's saying to you, but he is. See, that's the truth. Is he enough for you? Oh, man. I think I ran out of time here. This next section, we're going to have to move. Okay. Look, here's something I want to read to you guys. Listen, something to keep in mind. The true minister of Jesus Christ has nothing to hide. His life and his ministry are open in book. He preaches the truth in love and does not twist the scriptures to support his own flesh, own selfish ideas. He does not flatter the rich or minister only to make money. And by the way, there are a lot of churches today who, and I will tell you this, at this church, I have no idea who gives and what you give. I have no idea. And there are a lot of churches where pastors do know that. If you ever come wind of that, you're going to church, and you come wind of that, you need to leave that church. Pastors should not know how much you guys give. That's between you and the Lord, just as an aside. Paul described the true ministers in 2 Corinthians 4:2, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Contrast that description with what Peter wrote in this chapter and with what Jude wrote. We'll eventually get to the book of Jude. And you will see the difference, how we need to be alert and refuse to support ministries that exploit people and deny the Savior. Yet I see constantly where Christians platform these type of teachers, and I don't understand why. I don't. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to not be tricked, if you do not want to be cheated, then read your Bible. Read your Bible, because let me tell you something. They're going to tell you things that are going to sound so wonderful, almost too good to be true. That's because they are. Does God love you? Yes. Does God want to bless you? Yes. But God's not going to bless you if you're living a sinful lifestyle, is he? And see, we don't want to hear that. But that's the truth. You know how in the Old Testament you read and how he told Israel, Israel, look, if you obey my word, if you keep my commandments, I will bless you. And what did they do? They didn't. They didn't. It brought cursing upon them. They went after other gods. And see, false prophets or false teachers lead you where? They lead you to a place where you rely on something else other than Jesus. See, Jesus is all that we need. His word is all that we need. So read it. That's the inoculation against something like this, is to read his word. And let me tell you something. I hope when I stand here on a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night, when you guys are listening to me teach, you check me out here. You check out what I'm saying, if it's true or not. Remember, Paul told the Bereans in the book of Acts that they were more noble. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily to see what even I was saying. That's the Apostle Paul talking. So you need to search the scriptures to say what even what I'm saying, me, here, now, you need to search them for yourself. And if I ever stand up here and say something that doesn't sound right, you need to call me out on it. I've already told this story. I've been so tempted to do that. But I'm afraid, because if I do that, that'll be the Sunday somebody comes and visits and be like, who is this guy? So I don't. But false teaching is very subtle, and we all can get hooked. I was once hooked by it myself. We're going to stop here this morning. Ran out of time. We're going to talk next week about what the fact that God is going to judge these false teachers, and then if the Lord wills, we're going to hit the rest, the last section of this chapter, and talk about their characteristics. And listen, maybe you're here this morning and you're like, you're embarrassed and you go, well, I was swept up in false teaching. Let me tell you something, it's okay. It's okay. What you need to do is you need to realize that it was false teaching, acknowledge it, confess it to the Lord, and move on. Never let yourself be swept away again. I don't know about you, but it's getting harder and harder to know what the truth is. Yet so many of us will go on X, and we'll look at these videos and these things or YouTube, and we'll just assume that they're telling the truth. Can I tell you they're not telling the truth most of the time? And first of all, I don't have time to do that. I'm too busy. I'm too busy spending time with my family. I'm too busy spending time doing things for the church. Do you believe God is in control? Do you? Then why do you care some of the things you care about? Some of you need to hear this. You know more about nonsense than you do about God's word. And that's why you get swept away. It's the truth. I know I'm not trying to sound harsh, but I'm going to tell you from my own personal experience, it is so easy to get swept away in this stuff. It's so easy. It really is. But what keeps me from it is when I'm in the Word. That keeps me, because that's where Jesus is. That's where God wants to speak to me. That's where I need to be. Not in all this other stuff. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you again, and I pray for anyone here this morning, Lord, who is struggling, who, Lord, like I said, sitting here embarrassed. Lord, help them to know they don't have to be embarrassed. We all struggle. We've all been swept away. Lord, I just pray that they would hear what you're saying this morning to them. Lord, we need to realize that it's about you. It's always been about you, and it always will be about you. Nothing or no one else, you, Jesus, and your word. So help us, Lord, to read your word. And when we do, speak to us, Lord. Give us discernment. Give us discernment, Lord. We're asking for it. Give us wisdom with regards to these things. Lord, open our eyes to see your truth. And I pray that everything that we would look at, we would see through the lens, through the glass, through the lens of Scripture, Lord. Not through our own experiences, not because so-and-so said this or so-and-so said that or didn't say this or didn't say that, but we would see it through the lens of Scripture. Help us, Lord. And I know you will. And may we realize too, Lord, that you love us so much that you want what's best for us. And you don't want us to get swept into this false teaching. So help us, Lord, to have discernment. And help us to look to you for everything that we need. Because Jesus, you're all that we need. And we thank you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.